Good morning, Cornerstone.
Good morning.
Hey, so good to see you guys for our first online service. I know it's under different circumstances, but thank you for joining us today.
We're so glad that you're here with us online, and we know that this is different and that it's kind of changed our whole routine of how we're doing things at the church. So we wanted to let you know of a couple things that we've got coming up. First of all, tonight at 5 p.m., we're going to be doing an online prayer gathering. So we'll be sending out details about that as soon as our meeting is over this morning. And then also, this coming week would have been our last session of life groups. So we're going to move those online at our normal time. Wednesdays at 6:30 this Wednesday. And again, we'll post details about that and how you can access that in the coming days.
Now, I've been in the middle of a series, and normally I would have finished that up today, part six. But what I want to do is I want to finish that on Wednesday during our life group time. So even if you've not been part of our life group, you've not been at our home, we want to invite you to join us for this final part of Deconstructing Eden. We will also be doing our Q&A session at that time. A couple of you have already sent in questions, so we encourage you to use our Cornerstone Connect number, 605-215-5150. Mm-hmm. And if you have any questions about our series that we've been in for the last several weeks, feel free to send those in, and we will talk about those online Wednesday night.
And it's been such a great series. We've been diving into kind of some controversial topics about biblical morality and how that's important in today's culture. And so we've been having a lot of great discussions in our life groups on Wednesday night. So we really hope that you'll join us for that, because I think it'll be a good time of wrapping up this series.
Yeah, so please join us for that. Please join us tonight at 5 o'clock. We're just going to have a short time of praying for one another since we aren't able to be together today. We want to have a chance to pray for you, but pray for our community and pray for our nation as well. And I want to kick it over to Pastor Sarah. She's got one more announcement for us. And so, Pastor Sarah.
Good morning, everybody. If this is your first time checking us out, please check out our website, cornerstonesd.org. You can get connected with us by filling out our online connection card under the Get Connected tab on the main page. We are still continuing to give and trying to impact our community. You can do three ways at this time. You can continue to mail in to the church at our local address. You can donate online at cornerstonesd/give, or you can do our text to give option. The number is 84321, and text in the amount and designate it for. And thank you again, guys, and hope to see you again.
Thank you, Sarah. I appreciate your help this morning. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Listen, we're going to jump right into it. I do want to remind you one thing. As Pastor Sarah mentioned giving, we do want to thank those who've already taken advantage of our online giving. And we just appreciate everybody that supports Cornerstone Church. But we want to remind you of our cause for this month. It is Richard and Deborah Reed. They're missionaries to Lesotho, Africa. And they specialize in children's ministry and also building schools. And so we just want to encourage you to continue to give towards them. Anything you give under missions, or if you text to give, a cause, all of that goes to help them do their mission over in Africa. So we thank you for that. And so, like I said earlier, we're going to conclude our series, Deconstructing Eden, on Wednesday. So I want to remind you of that. We're switching it up a little bit, okay? If you missed any of it, you can listen to it online and you can catch up. We also have talking points on there every week for use in our life groups or also personal studies. So take advantage of that. But in light of what's happening around the world, in our country, and also in our state, I thought it was important for me to be able to talk about this and address it with you. And so to get things started, I want to remind you of our Cornerstone Connect number. It's 605-215-5150. And every week we do this. If you're new to us, maybe you're watching us online for the first time or not ever listened online, this is something we do every week. We want to give you the opportunity to interact with me. And so if you have a question, if there's something that I say that maybe confuses you or I didn't explain it very well, or you just have a follow-up question, feel free to text in your question to 605-215-5150, and we will connect with you as soon as we can. We've used these questions to help teach others. Maybe there were great questions we thought others would benefit from hearing the answers to. And so we use this number just to keep the conversation going here. We don't want Sundays just to be one and done. We want to keep growing as a body of believers, as a community. And so take advantage of that. We just encourage you, whether it's anything we've already taught, whether it's a question for following up Deconstructing Eden for Wednesday, some of you have already sent any questions, or a question for this morning's message. And so I've got a question to get you started. I usually do this every week. I want your brains going, okay? I don't want anybody just sitting, being passive and passive listening. I want you to think about what I'm saying, okay? And so here's a question. in light of what's going on in our culture today, with the coronavirus and everything going around, here's my question. How do you cope with fear? How do you cope with fear? Now, we all cope in different ways, okay? Some practice the fine art of retail therapy. If that's you, give me a thumbs up or a heart as I'm talking, okay? Some obsessively think about what or if they can do to help manage the situation, what they can do about their situation. If that's you, give me some thumbs ups or hearts right now. Maybe you practice comforting yourself with food. If you're not too embarrassed, feel free to respond to that. Okay, you're sitting around with a bag of Cheetos or a bowl of ice cream and things don't quite go your way, and you feel a little bit better for just about a minute or two until you feel even worse about what you've just done with the Cheetos and ice cream. Okay, unfortunately, many other people take more drastic measures, some very destructive measures to cope with their fear, but I wanted us to get started by thinking about that. Because here's the thing. In times like this, in times of crisis, in times of unexpected tragedy, we really get a glimpse into what people are really like. We get a glimpse into what they're really made of, what they really believe. What is their true self behind that perfectly manicured social media persona? And so this morning I want to talk to you about what I think is the answer to all of this, something that I believe that will really help you. That's one reason why we kind of push pause on our current series. I think this will help you this morning. I hope this will be an encouragement to you as we talk about fear and what I believe to be a huge component of us, especially as believers following the Lord. And listen, if you're not a believer, if you're a skeptic, I encourage you, maybe you'll learn something about what we believe today. Maybe you'll learn something that will encourage you. Just follow along with an open heart and open mind. But listen, I want to pray right now. I'm going to pray that God will help me speak, because this is a little bit weird. I'm not going to lie. Okay, I can't see anybody, and I'm pretending that I see all of you. All right? I can't really keep up with what's happening online because I'm trying to stay focused and talk. So guys, this is weird. So I'm going to pray that God will help me get through this and speak clearly and teach what he wants me to teach, because I always want him to use me the way that he wants and not just be a bunch of my opinions and my stuff. And so pray with me this morning, will you? Lord, I thank you for this morning. Lord, this is your day. God, even though this may have caught us by surprise, and maybe as a church we're kind of scrambling and other churches in our community and around the world are scrambling to do things a little bit different, but God, I thank you that the church is not a building, that we're not limited to a physical structure. Because Lord, we are your people, those that follow you. We are your sons, we are your daughters, and you are with us, and you've promised to be with us. If just few of us gather, Lord, you promised to show up even in a special way. But God, we know that you live in us, you're in us today. So thank you for your presence, Lord. And I pray that you just help me to speak about you this morning the way that you would want me to speak, that everything that I say, Lord, will be directed by you. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, listen, I've got another question. Do you guys remember when you were a kid? Can some of you remember that long ago? Some of you, it's longer than others. I don't want to call anybody by name. Erlen. But some of you, it's been a little bit longer than others. But listen, whether you're young or old, we can remember when we were a kid. And do you remember dealing with middle-of-the-night fears? Maybe this was a nightmare. Maybe fear of the dark, fear of being alone. But I want you to remember back to those times. Take yourself back to those times, or even think about your own kids. Think about your own grandkids. Okay? We all react a little bit differently. But here, I'm gonna drop some knowledge on you today. So thumbs up at the bottom of your screen if you want me to drop you some knowledge. Here's a theory. Okay? This is the best parenting insight you're going to get in the next 20 minutes. Okay? I believe there are two types of kids in the middle of the night. Two types of kids. Okay? Two. Are you ready? Okay, I'm waiting for you to get your notes ready. Here's the two types of kids in the middle of the night. There are yellers and there are ninjas. Okay, that's it. Yellers and ninjas. Dr. Phil's got nothing on this right here. There are yellers and ninjas. If something happens in the middle of the night, your kid is going to do one or two things. He or she is going to yell at the top of their lungs, "Mommy! Daddy!" Or number two, they're going to magically show up in your room and you're never even going to know how they got there. Okay, how do I know this? Because I have two boys. One of them is a yeller. One of them is a ninja. And let me tell you something about ninjas, church. Okay, this may be the best thing I say today. Ninjas, man, they're dangerous. If you've got a kid that sneaks in your room and you don't know they're there, you got to be careful. Okay, you can't be trigger happy. Okay, those of you that sleep with a gun by your bed, okay, you got to be careful if you've got ninja kids. All right. Now, I've never nearly shot a child, okay? But I have almost thrown a child across a bedroom before. It was one of our sons. Is only a few years old, maybe three. Okay. If you want to know the exact details, you can chat right now and ask my wife how old he was. She'll remember better. But I'm thinking he was about three. And so this is our ninja child. Okay. We don't ever know anything's wrong because he just appears. Sometimes he'll appear in the middle of the bed next to us. Sometimes he'll appear hovering over us like out of a creepy movie. Okay. But this one night, I wake up. This is not a joke. I'm not exaggerating. I wake up and he's on top of my chest. I didn't know he was there till he was on top of my chest. And I literally, before I knew what was happening, I had him like this and was about to throw him off of me because it spooked me. Okay? It spooked me. I didn't know what it was, but there was something crawling on my chest that woke me up out of a deep sleep. And before I threw him across the room, I realized it was my child and I loved on him and comforted him and probably passed him off to his mother because I think he was just passing me. I'm like a speed bump on the way to mommy. Okay? That's how it works at our house. But two types of kids. Yellers and ninjas. But I want to ask you this. What comforts our children? In those moments, what comforts them? In those moments, what comforted you when you were a kid? Listen, it's the presence of a parent. Listen, as a parent, we can't take away what happened. We can't change their emotions for them. But we can be there with them. We can stand with them in their moment of fear and reassure them that they are not alone. Okay? And that's something that I want you guys to think about this morning. So I'm going to talk about the power of presence this morning. I've just got a couple points. My second one's really short. I'm not going to keep you very long, okay? I don't want you to get too tired with all your thumbs up and all your hearts, okay? Because you're going to be so amazed by everything I say. Yeah, I'm looking at you, Brad. I'm looking at you. So please don't abuse the emojis. Church, don't abuse the emojis. We may have guests watching, okay? So we want them to think that we are perfect in all our emoji usage. So this morning, the power of presence, the power of the presence of a parent to make everything better. But this morning, the first thing I want to talk about is the power of an all-present God, okay? The power of an all-present God. And I think it's critical in this time that we remind ourselves of God's closeness to us, especially those who follow him, especially those who call him Lord and Savior. In the book of Psalm, chapter 46, the writer writes, it says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. And so the writer here states that God is always around in times of trouble. God is always here. God is always present. In the midst of destruction, God is here. Okay? Listen, we do not have to be afraid because he is our refuge. He is our strength. We can take comfort in him. We can take shelter in him. Okay? And at times like this, we have got to remind ourselves of this. Okay? This is the most consistent promise to those who know God. There are a lot of promises in the Bible. There are a lot of misused promises in the Bible. But I want you to understand, this is the most consistent promise in God's word. To the young nation of Israel, God says this to them in Leviticus chapter 26. This is a promise to the young nation of Israel. He says, I will put my dwelling place among you. I will not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. Now, we see this promise time and time again throughout the Old Testament, specifically to Israel. They were God's chosen people. He revealed himself to them. They were to be an example to the rest of the world. And we see throughout the history of Israel, God revealing himself in miraculous ways to them in a pillar of fire, in a cloud of smoke. God reveals his presence. Okay? He says, I will put my dwelling place among you. My residence will be with you. My home will be with you. I will be your God, and you will be my people. And if you remember in our current series, the wrapping up, you'll remember that we are uniquely created as image bearers of God. We are uniquely created to know him, to be in relationship with him in a way that no other created being can, no other creature. Animals cannot know God like we can. That is a privilege of being human, our capacity to be in relationship with him. And so the promise of God's presence with his people runs throughout Scripture. The entire whole of Scripture, we see this promise from the beginning to the end. He created us to be in relationship with him. And even after our rebellion, he took the penalty of rebellion upon himself so it would be possible for us to be in right relationship again with him. So we see this promise in God's word. We see it repeated over and over and over again. We see it in the New Testament with Jesus. Jesus in John chapter 14 is preparing his disciples for his soon departure. He's like, guys, I'm leaving. And so Jesus is like, he's wanting to tell them everything they need to know. These final words are very important. There's chapters here in John where he speaks 14, 15, 16, and 17 of his final words to them of encouragement, of teaching. And in chapter 14 here, Jesus says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. Listen, the Spirit of Truth, verse 17. Says, I'm going to give you someone else to help you, someone else to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. Says, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be with you. Again, the promise. Jesus is saying, I'm leaving physically, so I can't be with you anymore, but God is going to send his own Spirit. My Spirit's going to come back to live with you, to be with you, so that you will not be alone. This is a promise of God's presence. He's speaking to his disciples, getting ready to prepare them for what is coming next. And again, he echoes the sentiment at the end of Matthew in a popular passage called the Great Commission. If you follow Jesus for a while, you are probably familiar with this passage. He says in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, it says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." And look at this. "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Listen, here's the promise again. This is a very powerful statement. We often focus on the mission part of this, and that's very important. We got to go make disciples. We got to baptize people. We got to teach them what Jesus taught us. But at the very end is the promise of his presence, the presence of an all-present God. And that's a huge promise. Of all the promises of the Bible, this is the one made consistently over and over again. He didn't promise that we'll never experience pain. He didn't promise that we'll never experience any difficulty. He didn't promise that things will always go our way. He didn't promise that we would escape the consequences of a fallen world. He didn't promise that we would escape the consequences of someone else's sin. But he did promise that he would always be with us. And so, church, somehow if we can grasp that, if somehow we can grasp that promise, it'd be like being kids all over again. Okay? That kid that climbs in bed with mom or dad and realizes that in that moment, everything's okay now because I am not alone. Everything's okay now because I am with somebody that can protect me. Everything's okay now because I'm with somebody that I believe in, that I can trust, that'll take care of me. And that's the power of the presence of an all-present God. And as I talk about this, I'm reminded of one of my favorite stories in the Bible. This takes place in the book of Daniel. This takes place sometime before 530 BC. The Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar had attacked Jerusalem and captured some of the finest young men that Jerusalem had to offer. And chapter 3 tells the story of Daniel's friends named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego after they had been brought into the service of King Nebuchadnezzar. So here they are in Babylon, they're serving the king, fine, upstanding young men, the best that Jerusalem had to offer. But here in the story, like all good tyrants, King Nebuchadnezzar decided to make a statue. Hey, I'm in charge, why not make a giant statue, okay? Thumbs up if you'd like to make a giant statue. Anyone? Okay, I thought so. So King Nebuchadnezzar makes this huge statue out of gold. All right. In fact, it was 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. So he makes this statue and then he decides to throw a party. So he calls the Babylon Chamber of Commerce, says, hey, I want to have a ribbon cutting ceremony. So King Nebuchadnezzar decides to have a ribbon cutting ceremony for his statue. So all the important people were invited, all the royalty, everyone was there. Man, all the important people, all the beautiful people in Babylon were there. Okay. It was a black tie, red carpet event. And so everybody's is there. Okay, I'm sure somebody's got the giant scissors to cut the ribbon, right? The band was there. And King Nebuchadnezzar, his instructions were that when the band begins to play, everyone here must bow down and worship the idol. Okay? When the music begins to play, you must bow and worship the idol. And here's the good news. If you didn't do it, you got a trip to the furnace. Think about that. Please express yourself in emojis right now. A trip to the furnace if you didn't bow down and worship the statue. Okay? So here we are. These three Jewish young men, they were part of the royal court in the sense they were advisors to the king, man. They were the finest of the finest that Jerusalem had to offer. And here they were trying to maintain their loyalty to the one true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that they served, the God of Israel. And so when the music began to play, they didn't bow down. They refused to bow down. They refused to worship. And some of the other leaders noticed that they didn't bow down. Leaders that were tired of these Jewish young men getting some special attention and recognition that they thought they deserved. And so here we see these people, okay, going to King Nebuchadnezzar, telling him, hey, did you know? Some of these young Jewish guys, they didn't bow down. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't bow. And the king was furious. And he was ticked off. Furious. So he goes to them like, listen, you guys not understand what I'm saying? Did you not bow? Are you refusing my orders? And he reminded them, listen, if you don't bow, man, I'm going to throw you in the furnace. And I'm going to throw you in the furnace. And so after the king threatened them again, made very clear what the consequence for their disobedience was going to be, I want you to see this. This was the response of the young men in Daniel chapter 3. In verse 16, here's what it says. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Guys, this is such a picture of faith. Listen, I know right now this virus, this is not a punishment from someone else. This is not a punishment from a government, okay? This is not being punished for being followers of Jesus. This is not persecution. So I know the situation is not exactly the same. But listen, as followers of Christ, we will face uncertainty. We're going to face times, whether it's persecution or just life happening like it is now, where there's uncertainty, where there is fear going around, where there is doubt going around. And what are we going to do? What can we learn from these three guys right here in this story? Listen, this is what I want you to see. We see they were very confident in God's ability. Look, he says, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. They were confident in God's ability. They were also confident in what they thought God would do. Said, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. And that's where many of us stop. Many of us stop in our faith, believing that we have to believe that God can and that God will. But look at what they continue to say. They say, even if he does not, we want you to know that we will not bow. There are those teaching today that would suggest these guys didn't have enough faith because they used the word if. But church, can I tell you, faith is not an idol. Faith is not something we can conjure up. And faith is not faith if we only have faith because we believe we know what God will do. Faith is not faith if we have faith only because we know what's going to happen or because there's an expected end. Faith is not faith when we believe we know what God wants to do or because we can figure God out. This is an example of faith. They said, we believe God can, we believe he will, but even if he doesn't, we still trust God. Why? Because we trust him for who he is, even if the outcome is different than we think. We trust him. And this is huge faith. God can, I believe God will, but even if he doesn't, I'm still going to serve him. My faith is not going to be shattered because my faith is not based upon an outcome. My faith is based upon a person. And that person for them was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they saw his character through what he had done before. They knew him by his word. They knew him from what had happened before. I mean, they had heard the stories. They knew who he was, and so they trusted him. So this is the faith that I hope we can all attain to. God, even if it doesn't happen like we think, we still trust you. We still believe you. Let's get back to the story. The king was so angry. Nebuchadnezzar was so angry. He ordered the furnace turned up. May make the fire hotter. He ordered his strongest soldiers to grab those three young men and throw them in the fire. The fire was so hot, the soldiers throwing them in died themselves because of the heat. But then something strange happened. Something strange happened. Not only did these three guys not die, in fact, it looked like they were not even harmed at all. The king looks in and they're all like walking around having a chat. They're like cruising the furnace like nothing's happening. But then the king notices, like, wait a second, I thought I threw three guys in. Hey, did I threw three in, right? Yeah, there was just three. Then why do I see four people in there? And in the king's own words, he said, man, that fourth guy, man, he looks like a son of the gods. He doesn't look like the other three. There's something different about him. And so we see God miraculously save Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were delivered from the fire. The king ordered an edict that nobody would come against them and their God again. The scripture says they did not even smell like smoke. It wasn't that they were barely saved. God saved them not only from the fire, but they didn't even smell like smoke. And so the presence of God changes everything. The power of an all-present God changes everything. And my prayer for Cornerstone is that we will stand like these three young men, not only now, but whatever comes next. Listen, if we get through this crisis in 2 weeks, 2 months, 6 months, listen, something else is going to happen. Life always happens. Why? Because we are in a sinful world. And so our confidence is not in being able to see the end. Our confidence is being able to see God. And if we can see God, we know that the end with him is always secure. We know that the end with him will always be okay, even if our circumstances here aren't ever what we want them to be. Listen, these guys, their confidence was in God alone. In the presence of God, the power of an all-present God changed everything for them. He rewarded their faithfulness, and he brought them through the fire unscathed. And so, church, I hope that we can be a people of faith. I hope that we can be a people that will always not only believe that God can, that God will, but man, no matter what, we're going to stand with him. Even if things don't go the way we want or expect or hope, we're still going to stand. Why? Because God has already proven his faithfulness. He's already proven his love for us. So even if today's circumstances don't turn out how I want them to, that doesn't change who God is. That doesn't change his character. And it doesn't change the fact that he's promised to be with us always. And number two, I want to close with this. There is power. There is power in an outward-focused church. And so in this time, church, I want us to be looking for opportunities to be the presence of God for other people. We carry the Holy Spirit in us. Okay? Jesus said himself in John that he's going to send the Spirit of God. He's going to send another advocate, and that advocate's going to live in us. That is the Spirit of God living in us as sons and daughters of the King, sons and daughters of our Creator. And so we have the privilege of having the Spirit of God live in us. And I pray that we would be an outward-focused church, because there is a power in that. There is a power in the people that not only gather in a building on Sunday morning or watch something together on a Sunday morning, but there's a power to people that go out into this world that is afraid, into this world that is lost, and communicate the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul calls us ambassadors of Christ. We are to take the good news of Jesus to other people, the good news that God has offered to forgive people of their sins. He's offered to wipe the slate clean if they just come to him and place their trust in him and go all in with Jesus. So my last question for you this morning, are you truly trusting God with your life? Listen, if you're a follower of Jesus, are you truly trusting him with your life? Do you recognize that he is with you always, and that is a promise that he has made? Do you truly trust him with your life? Do you trust him with your kids? Do you trust him with your grandkids? Even if things aren't looking like you want them to look, do you trust him? And then if you're not a follower of Jesus this morning, I want to tell you, listen, if you're not trusting God with your life, you can this morning. Maybe you still have questions. If you've got questions, use our Connect number. Fill out a Connect card online under Get Connected. Man, I'd love to talk with you more about what it means to follow Jesus. But if you don't know him this morning, you simply can make him Lord and Savior of your life, if you admit that you're a sinner, God says we're all sin. Man, we've all rebelled against our Creator. Man, we're all hopelessly lost without Him. And then we believe that Jesus is the only way to God. Jesus Himself says this, I'm the only way to God. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then we go all in with Jesus. We commit our life to Him. We not only ask for forgiveness, it's more than just an apology. We not only ask for forgiveness for all of our sins, we confess Him as Lord, which says, you are now in control of my life. I am no longer in the driver's seat, that you are now in control. So admitting that you're a believer, believing that Jesus is the only way, and then committing your life to Him, going all in with Jesus, you can make Him Lord of your life this morning, and you can trust Him with your life. And so I'm going to pray with you right now. I hope this has been an encouragement to you guys. Thanks for joining us online. Immediately after this, though, we're going to share a link of a song that I want you to listen to. We weren't able to do music together this morning, have a time of worship. I want you to listen to this song. If you know it, feel free to worship in your home. But I want you to listen to this song, and I pray that it would be encouragement to you. So as soon as I close a prayer and end, we will post this song. And just if you're just with your family or you've gathered with a few friends, please listen to this. And just spend a moment together in reflection of what I've talked about, and maybe you can take time to close in prayer with one another. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you. First of all, that God, we are not limited by being physically together in a building. God, although we love to be together, we're a family. But I thank you for the opportunity to be able to meet like this, Lord, that we are able to gather in a sense. We are able to be together. And so I thank you for your church because it is your idea. I thank you that we are part of the global church, Lord. We are part of a global network of ambassadors for you. And I pray that as Cornerstone Church, Lord, we would be the ambassadors for Christ that we are created and called to be. That God, as imperfect as we are, that you would help us to show the love and hope of Jesus Christ to others. So in this time of crisis, this time of fear, this time of doubt, God, I pray that we would be people of life, that we would be people of hope, and that we would be people that are looking outward, Lord, for opportunities to share that life and hope with other people. And Lord, if there is somebody listening or watching that doesn't know you, I pray that right now, even as I'm praying, that your Spirit begin working on their heart, that you would draw them a little bit closer to you right now. That God, they would come to the end of themselves and recognize that they need to get their life right with you. They would recognize, Lord, that there is something more. Because God, they've been made in your image. Lord, all they need to do is surrender their life with you and go all in with you. And God, you will transform them on the inside. God, they will be able to live the life that you have created them to live. And so God, I just pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Cornerstone Church, privileged to be your pastor, privileged to be with you this morning. We love you. Watch the song we're getting ready to post. Look for further instructions online about tonight. Hope you can join us for our Zoom prayer meeting and then also a live group on Wednesday. God bless you. Have a blessed afternoon and a blessed week.